Okay, you're here with Kath and Mike on The Good Earth, and this is a pre-record. Kath, how are you?
I'm good, Mike, and you?
Absolutely wonderful.
You're back in the land of Oz?
Yeah, back from India, and namaste and all that sort of stuff. So,
okay.
It was fabulous. It was, yeah, 8 weeks. 8 weeks is a long time, but and I missed most of summer.
We didn't have one, so don't worry.
Yeah, that's what I got told. But it didn't stop some of the plants in the backyard from dying. But I've got to give credit where credit's due. He used up virtually the whole 25,000 litres out of the water tank.
Really?
Oh yeah, but he was watering everything all the time because I put the word on him. And plus the guy I share the greenhouse with, he comes in when he waters his aloes. There goes 1,000 litres, 2,000 litres easily, or 5,000 litres.
Oh, okay. Litres.
All right. So, yeah, so I only lost a couple of plants here and there, okay. And most of those are in pots.
All right.
So I lost a lily pili, which is annoying because it was a nice one, a bigger one that was still in a pot that I bought, and a couple other bits and pieces. But the babaco, I've got fruit on my babaco.
On your babaco?
Babaco, yeah, I've got a babaco, which is like a pawpaw.
It's, okay.
It's sterile, but all it grows in cool climates.
Oh, okay.
And, so I'm hoping that the warm weather stays around long enough for it to set the, to actually ripen.
Well, we've just come into that autumn that we're now having that autumn.
So the last couple of days have been fabulous.
Oh, it's just delightful. Yeah.
So So India was really good, and of course they had the interviews up in Darjeeling.
We had the interviews. We've had an interview over the last 2 months each show.
One with
when
Pasan
John and Viv have been helping me. So
and a good shout out to John and Viv again for all of that. That was brilliant.
Thank you, John and Viv.
Now I'm back and the weather's beautiful and I'm looking out in the garden going, well, I really should get stuck into that. And I sit there and watch it and go, but I might have a coffee first.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've been in sort of like recovery mode for the last few days.
Well, it takes a little bit of time to just sort of get back into the swing of it.
Although yesterday was brilliant because yesterday, this being Tuesday, folks, so this is a couple of days old, but I sat down, had some breakfast, about 8 o'clock in the morning, sitting outside in the looking out over the backyard, had a few eggs and I was sitting there drinking my coffee and then dozed a little bit and then in the sun and then woke up and looked around a bit more and thought I really should get something done and dozed a bit more.
Your Indian time table.
It was just delightful, just sitting there in the sun.
It'd be very nice.
It was warm and the bees are buzzing around the herb garden and wouldn't be dead for quids, as they say.
No.
And you went to the flower show over the weekend. How was that?
I did. Huh? It was very busy and, interesting. So I was at the... I'm part of AILDM, which is the Australian Institute of Landscape Designers and Managers.
Okay. Ooh.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, it is a mouthful.
Yes. But they had a design clinic. So lots of landscape designers as members of this association, and we gave up our time and gave a 30-minute consult to whoever wanted to come in and just have a consultation.
Oh, cool. Bit like the speed date sort of thing.
It was very much like speed dating that
ATA does,
the ATA. So similar concept, except it goes for 30 minutes. So, that was interesting and exhausting.
Yeah,
so
I can imagine. 30-minute bang, 30 minutes bang.
Yep.
And what was the break time in between, 2 minutes?
In theory, it was 10.
in theory, I like that. And how many, if you're anything like me, I know the answer to this question already. How many of those sessions did you go over time, Kath?
Yeah. I don't think I had a break between any of them. And it was a 4-hour shift on Friday and then another 4-hour shift on Saturday. So by the end of it, it's just brain freeze.
Like, yeah.
You know, somebody said to me, oh, what's a native... for shade, and I'm thinking, I don't know. So, coria. <Yeah. laughs> Can't go past coria.
I would have said a shade cloth.
A shade cloth. If you're using shade cloth, you're planting the right stuff in the right spot. So what was new at the garden show?
Yeah. What was new?
There was a lot of bee-themed things,
mm-hmm.
Like just the honeycomb, like the shape of beehives. And
stuff. Okay, beehiving. I'm over beekeeping.
Oh, now. You're into
I'm an old hand.
Oh,
at beekeeping.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you need to get into
so
the
blase,
next thing.
Yeah, I need
they
to
weren't
get
actually
the
doing
thing.
Bees. They're just using the hive as a design thing.
Okay,
so.
But it is bees are very topical at the moment for. Oh. For
I say they were passe.
No. They're actually very, very topical because bee themed stuff. Bees are in the news because of colony collapse disorder and all that sort of stuff. So there's a heightened awareness of bees, and of course all the arguments and fighting against some of the chemical companies and whether or not their chemicals are causing partly this problem with colony collapse disorder. And there's a lot of evidence to support that it is, but you know, they're still, you know, they're fighting a massive big campaign, the companies themselves saying it's not. And so, you know, whether or not it's going to end up like another tobacco type thing, or whether it's, or whether it's actually going to turn out that no, this, that isn't the reason. But one of the latest things I heard about bees, just to slide straight off topic again and take the microphone for myself,
gee,
as always.
Have changed.
Yeah. You're not going to get a word in edgeways now, Kath. That it's a whole combination of things. So it's not just a particular chemical or another chemical or this or that. It's a whole range of pollutants and chemicals, things in the environment, and you know, all the stuff with hormones getting out, you know, human hormones into the waterways. It's the whole gamut of stuff that's actually causing this problem. So it's, there's not one simple fix. So you can't just say, right, chemical company A, you're not allowed to sell your chemicals anymore. Or chemical company B, we've discovered that your particular weed killer or whatever it is the problem. It's the whole holistic thing that's causing the problem. So it's interesting that you know, that bee theme is so strong.
Well, on that, wildflowers were part of the... There was one spectacular display that was just one of the top corners of the pass, because it's in the exhibition buildings, exhibition gardens. And it was just a sea of metre-high cornflower and a couple of grasses. And
cool.
So, of course, they were selling the seed mix. So
of course.
Yeah, who bought the seed mix? and then I went over to Diggers Club's stand, and Clive Blazey's got a new book out, so I bought that, of course.
Of course.
And became a member of Diggers at the same time. Awesome. All that time.
Yeah, they're a good organisation.
Yeah, so they're a good organisation.
And so I now said, I've got a local rep I can come to, have I?
Absolutely you have, yes.
Excellent.
I've got my garlic sitting in my bag waiting to be planted. But I said to one of the girls it was a gift, because I came up and I just went up. I've been on the desk for the ATA selling memberships, and you know, selling all the good points of why they should be a member.
Yeah.
And I just walked up and said, oh, I think I need to be a member. And she's gone, oh, okay.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, oh, what's Clive's new book, and is it all veggies? And she said, no, you need to have flowers too. And I thought, well, yeah, we do.
Yeah, starting to come to that. I'm coming to that too. I'm starting to plant flowers into my veggie garden.
Yes. So my front garden, which you would have witnessed, is such a productive hive at the moment. I've decided that the veggies need to be in raised beds, and the stuff that's in the either of my side beds isn't working, so that's going to be wildflowers. So,
well, I actually went in next door first, because I saw all the veggies in the front yard.
Oh. Yeah. My neighbours that have just, and you ought to see their back. They're far more productive than me.
Yeah. Well, see, they don't do it full time.
No.
And that's, the cobbler's always got the worst shoes.
Yes.
So if you're working in a particular industry, by the time you get home, you really don't want to keep working.
No.
Yeah. And so,
I was actually in the nursery yesterday buying stuff for, buying some products for a client, and I thought, oh, well, I could just get, you know, I could do parsley over winter. No, you're going away for a week. Why would you be putting anything in now?
Absolutely, yeah.
The other thing I do is go and sit out in the backyard and think, oh, it's just all so dry.
Yeah.
It's just,
well, that's what I've noticed
at
my place
too.
It's just really, really dry.
Yeah.
So haven't got the 30 centimeter cracks where small children fall down through.
No.
But it's really, it is really dry.
Well, if you
dry.
Go down the creek, there will be. But yeah.
Well, the thing that got me is that even it's dry and everything, but The trees look stressed. Even the subsurface moisture's gone.
Yep.
That's the thing. And even with that rain that we had, we know we've had some big rains while I was away, and we had some reasonable rains over near our place last week. Not crazy big, but reasonable. But that really didn't make a big dent.
No.
It's the ground sort of soaked it all up and it vanished.
Yep.
So and I'm watching a lot of the trees, and they're wilting a little bit. You know, the ones that have got more shallow roots and stuff. And even things like native things like I've got kangaroo apple. Mm-hmm. Just soft seeds all over the backyard.
Yeah.
And they're all starting to die off. They just can't get the moisture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So that's
when
that...
And they're weedy.
And they're weedy. Anything, and yeah. So when that happens, you go, ooh, yeah, there's not a lot of water in there. Yeah.
Well, I've got one sole eucalypt out in the backyard, and it's pretty much just shedding all its leaves.
Yeah.
So I need to do something about that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be my famous hydrophobic soil, but yeah.
Well, it could be. Could be. But we'll find out soon, yeah. But it's really interesting, because it was when I was over in India, we spent some time in Rajasthan, which is all desert sort of area.
Yes.
And I've got a great photo there. It just shows you how important water is, because it's desert. There's sand. It's mm-hmm. like, and you get into some places, and it is just sand dunes. But a lot mm-hmm. of places, it's a bit like northern Victoria, southern New South Wales. It's dry, but there's sort of like bushes around, okay. and there is some moisture there, but it's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the soil's really sandy and gravelly, and sort mm-hmm. of, you know, doesn't hold moisture.
Yeah, so it's fairly open.
Yeah, and then you'll see this field of green, like just pure, rich, lush green, like a field of wheat.
Mm.
That's only like 30
it's not like going out in the country and seeing the irrigated paddock.
And it's irrigation, right? Yeah. And they're mm. pulling water up from their artesian wells and everything.
Okay.
And watering, and so you get acres and acres and acres, or hectares and hectares and hectares mm. of green wheat. And you look, and you're driving down the road. One side desert, the other side pure green. And even in front of the fence, where it's not watered, it's sand. And you go, how much water is going on there
mm.
to feed those people?
Yes.
And then if they haven't got quite as much water, they're growing mustard.
Okay.
Because they use mustard as their main one of the main oils. They use yep. mustard oil.
Okay.
And so it's really interesting when you go from the south of the country up to the north, you start off in the tropics. It's a bit like Australia turned upside down. Mm-hmm. So you go from the tropics right up into the deserts.
Okay. Yep.
And then when you hit the mountains, you go up mm-hmm. higher. So when as you go from the tropics, you've got tropical fruits and you've got rice and corn and all those sorts mm. of things. As you move further and further north, the rice gives way to wheat.
Okay.
The corn's still there for a little while, then it mm. disappears. All the other tropical fruits like bananas, mm. they're long
they're
gone.
They're all gone.
And so then you get fields and fields of wheat, a bit of corn, and you get other things. You'll get pumpkins and stuff, or you'll get. As you go further and further north, you get potatoes where it gets cooler, mm-hmm. or just massive amounts of potatoes. But then the wheat, the corn gives way to mustard as it gets drier. So then you get wheat and mustard growing, because mustard doesn't take much water.
Okay.
And finally, when you get into the really arid areas, all you're left with is mustard.
That's it.
And that's it. So mustard's the only thing that can grow there, unless you've got extensive irrigation. But it's really interesting to see that whole change.
Yeah, to see that gradual change over the...
Of the crop types, of staple yes. crops. So you go from rice to wheat, and then in the cooler areas, potatoes. And just crazy amounts of potatoes. Just
really?
Unbelievable. We drove past these warehouses, and the warehouses have got like 50 trucks, 60 trucks, 100 trucks, 200 trucks loaded up with potatoes that they're bringing to these warehouses. And then everywhere you see, it's like this... It's like watching a little stream with all the tributaries from the stream all feeding this main big river.
Mm.
But they're potatoes. So there's this trickle of potatoes coming from all of these farms, getting all bagged up and everything, and then bigger trucks taking them to the warehouse. And there's massive warehouses. I mean, they're just huge. Thousands and thousands of ton of potatoes.
So that's like their staple when they're up in the arid, more arid areas.
Yeah, or one of the classic...
You couldn't eat mustard, could you?
Yeah, mustard's all right. No, mustard oil. They use
oil, but it's not like corn or wheat.
No, you can't eat the mustard. The mustard seeds, but they crush it for oil. Mm. That's what they use. And so you end up with one of the famous dishes popular dishes over there is called aloo gobi, which is, aloo is potato and gobi is cauliflower. So it's basically potato and cauliflower.
Oh, okay.
So it's a potato and cauliflower curry.
All right.
Simple curry. And it's everywhere.
Oh,
all right, so
that's interesting. Yes. I need to make a vegetarian curry for the weekend.
There you go. You just call it aloo gobi and you'll be fine.
Aloo gobi.
Aloo, okay. So aloo gobi.
Okay.
And it just literally means potato, cauliflower.
Potato and cauliflower.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's served all through the country. And down the south, you don't get as much potato, mm-hmm. obviously. And you don't get as much bread. But up the north, you get a lot more bread and a lot less rice.
Yeah.
But the diet's starting to merge together and stuff. So, but it was really interesting.
Because the transportation. Yeah,
transportation.
Going
so, yeah, okay. Transportation and water has made a huge difference to the diet right through the country, because all the things are blending. So you still got local cuisine and everything,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it's, you know, there's a lot of basic curry based things and stuff. Mm. But it's really interesting seeing the difference in staple foods and stuff as you get less water or less heat and all that sort of stuff. And so it sort of brings it back home about suiting plants to the local environment.
Yeah, and planting what's appropriate for the environment. Yeah, not trying to
get rid of that getting rid of that damn shade cloth. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. yes. Because if it's burning, it's obviously in the wrong spot.
Yeah, and if you really if it really needs shade, put it under a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, move on to where it should be.
We're going to go to a music break now, and when we come back, we'll talk about something else.
we can talk about my indigenous nature strips I've been planting.
Ooh, that's a good topic, all right. Okay. So you're on 94.1 FM 3WBC with Mike and Kath on The Good Earth. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Indigenous nature strips.
Yes.